Thanks a lot. Data everywhere, but not a bite to eat. Probably not the only groan you all have. So the biomedical research enterprise of today is characterized by a few things with regard to data. First of all, there's lots and lots of it. At NIH, we support about $30 billion worth a year, but most of this resides in individual labs. There are some exceptions to this, genomics data, data from human autism research studies, particular research initiatives like the Human Connectome Project make data broadly available. But by and large, the major product of biomedical research is concepts, the concepts that are seen in scientific papers, not data. So biomedical research today is concept-centric, not data-centric. Tomorrow, I see a world in biomedical research where the data are liberated due to increased data sharing. I see advances in relevant data science and tools allowing us to use these data in interesting ways, and ways to make data discoverable, useful to others, citable, and linked to the scientific literature. Overall, I see tomorrow seeing a much greater prominence of data in science and scholarship. So how do we get from where we are today to where we want to be tomorrow? Well, last month, the NIH announced the Big Data to Knowledge Initiative for research data. This will be about a $100 million a year initiative, and it will run from this year until the year 2020 in its first phase. And I'll talk about some of the things that are going to help us get from today to tomorrow under the auspices of this initiative. This was developed in the context of the advisory committee to the director of NIH. That advisory committee formed a data and informatics working group chaired by David Demetz from the University of Wisconsin and Larry Tabak, who is the NIH deputy director. And that group came up with three categories of recommendations for NIH research data. All into the categories of sharing and standards, tools, and I would add science to that, and workforce development. So we went ahead and have developed four implementation groups. Eric Green is the acting associate director of NIH for data science. This is a position we are actively recruiting for right now. He's also, of course, the head of the National Human Genome Research. And we have these four implementation groups with the chairs and co-chairs listed here. I'm going to talk mostly about the sharing and standards group today, but I will mention a few things about these other three groups. The tools group is developing opportunity announcements for supporting software development for big data processing, management, and analysis. The tools plus, and the plus here is science, will be centers. We'll have about 15 to 20 of these centers for big data and data science research and development. And the workforce initiative will be supporting institutional training grants and other kinds of training activities to bring together biomedical research and data science and associated quantitative sciences. So turning next to the sharing and standards group, we have three thrusts in our group. One is policies, changing policies to increase data sharing and to change the culture of data sharing in biomedical research. And I think the changes we will make here will definitely liberate data. The NIH data sharing policy was mentioned before. The work group thought that that policy needed to be much stronger, needed to be expanded, and needed to be subject to peer review. So we're following that report. The next thrust of our group is to establish frameworks for community-based standards efforts. So right now, if somebody comes up to us at NIH and says, we have an interest in conducting this focused set of experiments to test these hypotheses, We can pull off the shelf a particular framework of policies, of workflow, of forms to fill out, of review processes, and so forth. And an example of that would be the R01 grant. But of course, it's more than just the grant. It's all of these other things together. Somebody comes up to us and says, well, I and my colleagues and I have decided that in order for neuroimaging to go forward, we need a common data format for fMRI data. How do we do that, Mike? Well, right now, we don't have a framework for that. The idea of this thrust is to establish those frameworks. And the idea here is standards will make data more useful, and of course, when they're community-based and developed, they're more likely to be used. Finally, and this is what I will talk about for the rest of my time, we are looking to develop a catalog of information about data sets to bring data into the research ecosystem by making it discoverable, citable, and linked to the literature. Each of these three thrusts adds value, but of course, together, along with the grants and centers and so forth with the BD2K, I think we're going to get a lot of synergy in biomedical research. So now I'm going to go through just a use case of what we're currently envisioning the data catalog to be. You have to realize this was launched last month, so this is just our basic thinking at this time. But we have kind of put together a model that we think will work. It starts with an NIH-funded investigator. This person has just completed his or her experiments and is ready to write a paper. But before submitting that scientific paper to a journal, the investigator would upload a minimal amount of information about the data set to the NIH data catalog. You've seen the minimal data set descriptors in some of the previous talks. So this would include the authors of the data, and these authors could be different than the authors on the scientific paper. The point here is it would provide proper attribution for the data. In addition, this person would upload data information about the data description. And here we envision using a controlled vocabulary, and I'll talk more about that later. But the idea would be you'd indicate the organism, the cell type maybe, the data type, those kinds of things, again, from a controlled set of terms. And this, of course, would make for efficient search and retrieval. And in addition, we would expect information about where the data reside. Is it in GenBank? Is it on hard disk in my lab and so forth? Also information about the availability of data. And if the data are available for sharing, how to access that, whether sending an email to the person or going through a data access committee or whatever, that kind of information would be in this minimal set of information. And upon uploading this information, it would generate a data publication, which would provide a citation and provide citability, rather, and it would generate a data unique identifier, or a DUID. That data unique identifier would then be sent to the investigator, and the investigator would submit the manuscript to the scientific journal now with the DUID in the abstract and the data publication cited in the manuscript. Once the journal paper is published, it is indexed in the NIH's, the National Library of Medicine has something called PubMed, where we index the medical literature in a very consistent formatted way. So that would come to PubMed for indexing, and PubMed would pull out that data unique identifier from the abstract and set it off as a separate data element in the PubMed citation. Now, the data publication in the NIH data catalog would also be sent to PubMed for indexing, and in the same way, that same DUID would be pulled from that publication and set in that PubMed citation. So now we've got that same DUID in two citations, one of the data publication, one of the scientific publication, and that forms a two-way bidirectional link directly between those two publications. Now, PubMed, I mentioned this controlled vocabulary for describing the data set. PubMed would use those same data descriptors as we call them mesh headings. They're specific index terms. And it's a controlled vocabulary. It's an extensive, sophisticated ontology to describe biomedical phenomenon, I guess. And it's updated and so forth, and those same terms would be used to index that data publication. By using the same control terms in the catalog and PubMed, it provides discoverability about the data sets that are in the data catalog through PubMed. So, for example, if you have a certain set of data descriptors, that data publication is indexed with those, then somebody else goes into PubMed and says, I want to search on the NIH data catalog using these search terms, if you will, these index terms. You would pull up that data publication, and then, of course, you go to it and find out all about, you know, who owns it and where it is and all of that. But you'd also pull up all other data publications that have similarly defined and described data sets. And, of course, you could do this freely as well. If you just had an idea, you wanted to see all of the data from a particular strain of mouse that had to do with cancer, reference to the data set information in the data. Finally, these DOIIDs, the citations of the data publications, and the citations to the scientific literature could be used by administrative systems at NIH, both internally and externally, for trends analysis, all kinds of other monitoring functions. So through this group one, the sharing and standards group, I think we will be able to bring data into the research ecosystem, first by making data more available by changing our data sharing policies, and by making it more useful by supporting community-based standards efforts. Data sets will be discoverable because the same descriptors of the data sets that are used in the catalog will be used as index terms and search terms in PubMed. Data sets will be citable because the NIH data catalog produces citable data publications. And when you combine citability with proper attribution, you have great incentives related to data. And data sets are linked to the literature through this common search and retrieval approach and through the use of the data. Finally, again, having this information in the ecosystem will let NIH and other third parties do all kinds of interesting big data search and analysis on the data. With that, I thank you, and we will bring up the next.
Thank you, Michael.